Sometimes going to the grocery store can be chaotic. There doesn't seem to be enough time to check the list, make sure everything is there, search for the best prices, and take the time to make sure you get the best quality meat. So let ButcherBox help you out. Giving you peace of mind, ButcherBox delivers high-quality meat and seafood that you can trust straight to your door. No grocery carts required. Humanely raised, no antibiotics or hormones, 100% grass-fed, free-range, and crate-free. What more can you ask for? What about free shipping, customized box plans, exclusive member deals, recipe inspirations, tips, and tricks? You really can't go wrong with ButcherBox. Sign up at butcherbox.com/morningcup and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. Choose salmon, chicken breasts, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/morningcup and use code morningcup to choose your free for a year offer plus get $20 off your first order. Today's podcast is brought to you by Newspapers.com, the ultimate destination for exploring the mysteries of the past. If you're fascinated by true crime, get ready to dive into the stories that made headlines. Newspapers.com offers a billion pages of historical newspapers from the U.S. and beyond, and you can search the entire collection in seconds. Their vast newspaper collection is a goldmine for eyewitness accounts, crime scene photos, news reports, and more. Whether you're interested in famous crimes or long-forgotten cases, Newspapers.com gives you a front-row seat to more than 300 years of history. For our listeners, Newspapers.com has a special offer. Use the code CUPOFMURDER for an exclusive 20% discount on your subscription. That's promo code CUPOFMURDER at Newspapers.com. Sign up today and start unraveling the true crime mysteries that keep you up at night. Before we begin our story today, let's hear a word from our sponsor. I'm sure we can agree that life can, at times, be overwhelming. So much so that many people get burned out without even knowing, like symptoms that can include lack of motivation, feeling helpless or trapped, detached, fatigue, and more. For me, between writing a daily show, being a mom, being a wife, and just life's random curveballs, I have had plenty of moments where that burnout has crept up on me without even realizing it, which is why I love BetterHelp. BetterHelp Online Therapy is there to remind you to prioritize yourself, and talking to someone can help you figure out what's causing that stress in your life. We often associate burnout with work, but that's not always the case. Any of our roles in life can lead us to feeling burned out, and with BetterHelp, I have really been able to pinpoint those things and, because of that, adjust accordingly and work to become the best version of myself. BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist, so you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can be matched with a therapist in under 48 hours. Our listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/morningcup. That's betterhelp.com/morningcup.
There were two more murders 15 miles away.
When police arrived, they found the telephones and electricity lines.
We have a weird homicide.
A scene described by one investigator as reminiscent of a weird...
Morning. Cup of murder.
A motive, while interesting to learn, can sometimes be filled with misplaced blame that, in the aftermath of tragedy, does more to upset and confuse the public. On May 23, 2014, a young man who spent years raising red flags committed a mass killing that saw six bodies in his wake. A mass killing that, after reading and hearing his manifesto, left much of the world confused, hurt, and angry in his absence. So, if you like your coffee hot but your bones chilled, sit back and start your day with a morning cup of murder. Elliot Oliver Robertson Roger was born in London, England, and moved to the United States when he was just 5 years old. Elliot came from a well-known family, with his father being British filmmaker Peter Roger, grandfather being photojournalist George Roger, and his mother a Malaysian-Chinese research assistant for a film company. Unfortunately, the relationship between his parents did not last, and after their divorce, his father married a Moroccan actress whom Elliot had a strained relationship with. Now, according to the family's attorney, Elliot started seeing therapists pretty regularly around the time he was just 8 years old. But as far as his records show, he was never formally diagnosed with any specific mental illness. However, he was diagnosed with pervasive developmental disorder sometime in 2007. Upon entering high school, Elliot became the choice target amongst schoolyard bullies. And as a means to escape his increasingly volatile life, he became completely immersed in the online multi-role-playing game World of Warcraft, something that completely dominated his teen years and parts of his early 20s. Elliot attended an all-boys Catholic school in Encino, Los Angeles, one where the boys taped his head to his desk when he fell asleep, and then moved on to two different public schools before graduating in 2009. He went on to briefly attend Los Angeles Pierce College and then Moore Park College before moving on to Isla Vista in 2011. However, by February of 2012, Elliot Roger had stopped attending classes altogether. Also in 2012, Elliot's one and only friend told him he did not want to be friends anymore without reason, and he expressed his increasing loneliness on his YouTube account that he treated like a video diary. He also spoke about how he had been prescribed risperidone, a medication used to treat schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, or irritability associated with autism, but refused to take it after researching its uses and finding it did not suit his needs. By this point in life, Elliot, an adult, had completely rejected all mental health care, stopped any and all medications, and isolated himself from any and all who knew him. He constantly spoke about his isolation and inability to make friends, while acquaintances said he rebuffed any attempts at friendship, and, after being counseled on how to approach women, failed to follow any of the given advice. Things were going poorly for Elliot Roger, but where to place the blame for that downward spiral seemed to depend on who you spoke to. In September of 2012, Elliot visited a shooting range and became acquainted with handguns, purchasing his own Glock 34 pistol the following November, and then two more high-quality pistols in early 2013, all of which were purchased legally. As his purchases continued, slowly but surely and never raising any red flags, in January of 2013, Elliot accused his roommate, Cheng Wan Hong, of stealing some candles, and Cheng pleaded guilty to petty theft. By that April, his parents were contacting police after watching his behavior become increasingly more erratic on his YouTube page. But after speaking with police and Elliot explaining that this was all a misunderstanding with his parents, police determined that he did not meet the criteria for involuntary mental health commitment. Less than a month later, Elliot Roger would take that isolation, that anger, that erratic behavior, and those guns and kill six people in Isla Vista. On the evening of May 23, 2014, Elliot Roger, then just 22 years old, began his attacks on Seville Road when he stabbed three men, two of whom were his roommates, to death inside of their apartment. From the positioning of their bodies, police were later able to determine that each were killed separately upon entering the home, and the bloody bath and paper towels in the bathroom suggested that Elliot attempted to clean up the mess before fleeing the apartment. After the stabbings, Elliot went over to the local coffee shop, got something to drink, and began working on his laptop inside of the cafe. It was here that he uploaded his so-called retribution video at 9:17 p.m. and emailed out his manifesto to his former therapist, parents, family members, childhood friends, and former teachers just a minute later. Titled My Twisted World, The Story of Elliot Roger, the 107,000-word document was sent out to 34 people and explained how he originally planned to attack on Halloween of 2013, but feared that there may be too many police present. He said that in 2011, he threw coffee on a couple that he was jealous of, and again on two passing females who decided not to smile at him. And in 2012, used a super soaker filled with orange juice to spray people playing kickball at a local park. This all seemed to escalate when, according to Elliot, he attempted to push some girls over a 10-foot ledge after being mocked at a party and was instead pushed over himself by a group of boys and injured one of his ankles. Upon coming back into the party to get his sunglasses, the group mocked him again and Elliot came home crying, vowing once and for all to kill the men involved in the incident and, when that was done, kill himself. citing this, as well as the difficulties and rejections he suffered being mixed race, as his final trigger and the inciting incident in planning these attacks. In his YouTube video, the last he ever uploaded, Elliot complained about the constant rejection from women and how he envied men who were sexually active. Claiming this to be his motive, Elliot said, "Tomorrow is the day of retribution, the day in which I will have my revenge against humanity, against all of you. For the last 8 years of my life, ever since I hit puberty, I've been forced to endure an existence of loneliness, rejection, and unfulfilled desires, all because girls have never been attracted to me." Before going on to explain the tortures of being a 22-year-old virgin and how unfair it all was, saying he was going to punish everyone for the injustices he suffered and for the anger he felt over obnoxious men being chosen over him, the, quote, supreme gentleman. At the conclusion of his manifesto, Elliot laid out the phases of his grand plan. Phase one was to silently kill, quote, as many people as I can around Isla Vista by luring them into my apartment through some form of trickery. The next was what he called the war on women, and he planned on attacking the girls whom he claimed represented everything he hated about the gender, a sorority at the University of California, Santa Barbara. In an ideal world, in Elliot's ideal world, women would be quarantined in a concentration camp and starved to death, something he would gleefully watch from an enormous tower he built for himself in the camp. Believing a world without women was a pure world. After receiving the troubling manifesto, Elliot's former therapist called over to his mother, who, after finding the YouTube video, called her ex-husband. In separate cars, Elliot's parents left Los Angeles and hurried to Santa Barbara while calling Isla Vista police to try and give them the heads up. In the meantime, Elliot drove over to the Alpha Phi sorority house near UCSB and, after knocking on the door for a few minutes, opened fire at anyone who happened to be passing by. Two women were killed as a result, one more injured, and Elliot got back into his car and drove to a nearby coffee shop, fired into an unoccupied building, and then into a nearby delicatessen where he fatally shot a man sitting inside. He then made his way down Embarcadero del Norte, on the wrong side of the street, and began firing wildly out of his car window as he struck pedestrians with his vehicle. He missed all of his shots and, though hitting some people, managed to only injure those who he hit with his car. He then shot a couple exiting a nearby pizzeria, a female cyclist, drove south on El Embarcadero, shot at another woman, and then made a U-turn to drive west. That's where he met with a sheriff, exchanged fire, struck two more pedestrians, and then turned north on Camino del Sur. Here, he shot and wounded three more people, hit more with his vehicle, and exchanged fire once more with, this time, three sheriff's deputies, one of whom managed to shoot Elliot in the hip. Elliot then continued to drive, striking more as he went, before crashing into a sidewalk just east of the intersection of Del Playa and Camino Pescadero. When police arrived at his vehicle, it was 9:35 p.m., and Elliot Roger was in the driver's seat, dead from a self-inflicted gunshot wound to his head. Inside the car, police found three pistols, knives, six empty 10-round magazines, and 548 rounds of unspent ammunition. In his wake were the bodies of six individuals, all of whom were students at UCSB. The men in his apartment were George Chen, 19, Chen Wong Hong, 20, Waihan Want, 20, and the three that died during his rampage in Isla Vista were 22-year-old Catherine Brennan Cooper, 20-year-old Christopher Ross Michaels Martinez, and 18-year-old Veronica Elizabeth Weiss. There was also an additional 14 who, while injured, did manage to get away with their lives. As with many of these stories, the issue of gun control was brought back into the media spotlight, as well as the much-needed improvements to the U.S. healthcare system. A list of government officials used the case to push their agenda, and a man named Richard Martinez, father of one of the victims, gave a speech in which he placed all of the blame on the craven, irresponsible politicians and the NRA. As a result, in 2014, California legislators passed the Red Flag Law to enable judges to seize a person's firearms if they are deemed a danger to themselves or to others. The Isla Vista killings also sparked conversations on the issue of misogyny and how toxic masculinity, if left unchecked, can cause danger to many. Elliot's attacks, given his manifesto and his frequent visits to online forums like PUA Hate and Forever Alone, were labeled by the International Center for Counterterrorism at The Hague as acts of misogynist terrorism. His actions were later glorified amongst the incel community, who referred to him as a saint. Memes were created, his initials, ER, were later used as a reference by the perpetrators of several other mass killings, mock film trailers for The Supreme Gentleman were created in his honor, and t-shirts bearing his selfie were sold and worn amongst his male supporters. Thank you for joining me in my morning cup of murder. Please join me again tomorrow to hear a terrible thing happened on May 24th. Don't forget to rate and subscribe to let me know how you like it. If you want to help support the podcast, there's always Patreon or just sharing it with your true crime obsessed friends. And remember, stay safe.